Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to be edified and encouraged and changed. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would have your way and your will in this place tonight. Help me get out of the way, Lord, and have your way in and through me. Let your word come forth with clarity, brevity, and simplicity, that your will would be done in and through your church, in and through your people, for your glory and for the sake of eternity, that lives would be changed here tonight. Have your way in this place. We thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right. Good stuff. So, pretty excited to be here with you tonight. Things going to be good. So this is kind of a follow-up. So last time I got to address you, we talked about being a doer of the word. And my subset of that, because I don't like negative, was why isn't it working? And so this is kind of why isn't it working part two. But the title is Speaker of the Word. Now, what's important and the reason why I feel this way is that I think that if you are so busy doing what you're supposed to be doing, you don't have to worry about anything negative. If you focus on the negative, then you're focused on the negative, you're not doing the positive. Example in the Bible is the word says, you don't overcome good by not doing evil. You overcome evil by doing good. Okay? And so that's why I feel the way I do, is that it is critical that we are speakers of the word. And we're going to talk about the importance of the word. So some of this will be a little bit of group participation. You can answer. If I ask, you can answer. And before I get to the central text, this is known as what? Not just my Bible, but it's also the word, right? It's the word. And so what's the main point of words? Communication, would you agree? Now, as believers, that communication is largely through the speaking of the word. We come to church on Wednesday or Sunday night. It is so we can hear the word, which means somebody has to speak the word. And as believers, we should be out speaking the word. And we're going to talk about why in a minute. But here's my central text. It's real important. It's Matthew 12, verses 32 to 37. We're going to start reading it in the King James. I'm going to point out a couple of other translations. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. You will notice, actually, if you can stay on 32 for a second. You'll notice, whosoever speaketh a word. Whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost. We're talking about words. Okay, 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so this is critical text here. And I believe it's critical for believers because Jesus gave us the authority in this earth. So when we speak, it's different. It's different when we speak, and it matters. Let me highlight a couple of these in a couple of different translations. I just figured my technology would be a little faster than me flipping through, so. In the Amplified Classic. Now, you got to understand, at this point in the Bible, he is talking to the Pharisees. These very religious people. Very religious, scholarly, wise. They were the moral compass at that time as Jesus, as the believers in the church were growing. This is what there was. So he's saying this to the Pharisees. Okay? So that's an important point to note. Now, as he's talking about, you know, you can't both speak good and evil out of your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Okay, this is going to be real important when we apply it to faith and prayer. And remember, right now, we're in a series. We're talking about rekindling prayer, restoring prayer. Okay, raising prayer to another level. And so your words in your day-to-day life matter immensely. So in the Amplified Classic, it says, but I tell you, and I'm right on verse 36, but I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. For by your words, you'll be justified and acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned and sentenced. And you're going to say, Brother Steve, we have heard this before. Why are you making such a big deal of it? Because I firmly believe that often modern-day Christendom undoes their prayers, their miracles, their healing, their deliverance, their supply, because they got what Pastor calls loose lips. Okay, so this is critical, critical stuff. One of the things Holy Spirit wrote, every careless, idle word matters in eternity. It matters. It matters. Your idle words matter. You'll be accounted for and judged by it. And I'm going to harp on this point a little bit. We already talked about the Bible as the Word of God. The gospel is the good news, right? We all know that the gospel means good news. News is usually spoken. There's a Bible translation called the Message. Right? A message is usually delivered. If you go back to times in the early church, kings would send messengers to deliver verbal messages because a written word during wartime couldn't be trusted. Legally in the world, when somebody's convicted, a sentence is pronounced. Prayers are spoken, heard by the Father, right? Words matter a lot. Words are a fundamental part of God's creative process. Do you realize that we're the only part of all of God's creation that speaks words in the natural? In this natural earth, man, woman, people, we're the only ones that speak. You can tell me your dog speaks, but that's not what I'm talking about. You tell me your now, birds will mimic, but they don't have their own creative ability. Right? But that's it. In this earth, the evil one doesn't have the ability to speak himself in this earth. God can choose to if he wants to, but they're pretty rare accounts of God giving an audible, speaking in an audible voice to man. So largely, it's us. The word matters. If we look in Genesis, and we'll go to some scriptures in Genesis chapter 1, but you know this well, this accounting well. All of God's creating, speaking within his faith is how he created the earth. Let there be light. He spoke, there was light. Right? This is God's creative process, is speaking. This is what God does. He speaks. Right? when pastor or whoever is up here teaching, it's like we went and got a word from God to speak it. And I would submit to you that one of the fundamental purposes of a Christian is speaking. So the question is, what are we saying? To illustrate this important part, he created the earth and mankind. It wasn't the only way he created was by speaking, but speaking was foundational to his creation process. In Genesis 1, if you would, Pastor Cynthia, Genesis 1, 27, 28, and 29. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. God said it, and it has been so since creation. Does man dominate the earth? Even the biggest of animals, man dominates them, right? Because God said it. And so here's a really important principle, and this is why I'm making I feel so led to make such a big point about words. When the authority speaks a command or directive, everyone and everything obeys. So our speaking has a purpose beyond natural communication, and I believe it's to serve God. Scripture shows it's to serve God as we create like the Father does. We are created in his image. We just read it. So we operate like our Father does. You see it in the natural. You see it with your children. You see it in yourself when you were like, oh, I'll never, my parents did that. I'll never do that. And then you're looking at your kid and you're saying exactly what your parents were saying. or you're cooking something exactly the way your parents cooked it, you know, and you don't know why, but you're doing it. Well, this is what speaking is. So God changes the earth, creates the earth, changes things by speaking. What's it about for you and I? How does that translate into what we are here to do? The opening text, Matthew 12, 32, 37, specifically mentions every idle word. Every idle word. The only good idol is a car idol. Idleness in every other form is not good. There are laws against loitering. That's because you're being idle somewhere that you shouldn't be. Okay? and so idle words is what you're saying in casual conversation unconsciously. The scripture says that we as believers are completely responsible for every idle word. And it adds, in some translations, it says every careless word. You'll note that it doesn't talk about being judged on when you're speaking in the word. There's a different thing for pastors and teachers and that. But we're talking about, right? It doesn't mention that. It says idle and careless words. Let no corrupt communication, some translations say evil communication, proceed out of your mouth. So my bold statement is you can and need to control your mouth. You can cancel out your own answers, healings, deliverance by being careless with your speaking. I don't have time to go into everything. If we did a quick research, how do I know you can control your mouth? The popular vernacular still is just saying. I'm just saying. There's attitude with it. Right? Well, no, those are careless words. We're talk about this in a second. Those are stout words against the word of God. Because specifically, the gifts of the Spirit, right? One of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. So can you control your mouth? You can control your mouth. And you need to control your mouth. Our words have the same creative, destructive power as God Almighty. 2 we are. 2 we are. We're created in his image. We accepted Jesus Christ. If we understand the word and we walk and believe, then we walk in that same authority. This is critical, powerful stuff. We're talking about praying at a different level, being at a different level of faith, of prayer, seeing signs and wonders and miracles. I don't have time to go into James. James talks about your tongue, right? If you start looking at scripture and you start just thinking about speaking, all the different acts of all the people of God, it is always about what they said. It is always about what they said. You read about even Jesus, and we're going to get to it in a second. It's about what they said. And even Jesus demonstrated both creative and destructive power with his words. I wrote this down. We are authorized to speak the word of God. We are authorized. We are wielding a weapon. This stuff matters. We can effect miracles, signs, wonders greater than Jesus. That's what the word says. When we speak in faith and the fullness of our authority. Now, we can't just leave relationship out of this. All right, you got to be led by the Holy Spirit, okay? You can't leave your relationship with God and being led by the Holy Spirit out of this creative process. But when you are following the Word of God and following the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit puts it in you to say it, miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And we have the authority, and we're told that we would do greater things. Greater miracles than Jesus did, greater miracles than the apostles did, greater things. Where does that come from? Now, if I really had time, I'd get with you and we'd be talking about the condition of your heart, but we don't have time for that tonight. That's a different message. Okay? But that is the thing. Pastor made a little note in my Bible thing today. He's like, it's the mouth and heart connection. And I went, yes, it is, Pastor. You know what I'm going to talk about tonight. So that's what it is. This is how serious God takes it. I'm going to take a familiar portion of scripture. We talk about this a lot. If you could put up Malachi 3, 13 and 14 in the King James, please. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. That is probably not a very good commentary. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And if you read through Malachi, before that, God's just talking about all the mighty and amazing things he did. And then he's like, but your words have been stout against me. That's unbelief. After all these things and all the stuff God had done for the Israelites in the desert, all the things, they're like, oh God. It's a negative, stinking thinking, unbelieving, and potentially demonic kind of speaking, because you are speaking against the Lord God Almighty. He's done it all. He did a complete work on the cross. He sent his son, sacrificed him, so that we could be made in right relationship with him and walk like Jesus. The same authority and the same power. And then, in common vernacular, well, we were just lucky. Or, you know how rich people are. My Bible says that wealth and riches dwell in the house of the righteous. Yep. I'm the healed of the Lord. Not yesterday. I'm healed today. I have divine healing because that's what Jesus paid for me to have. So if my words say the opposite of that, that's the thing. Now, don't misunderstand it. Don't go down this road too far. It doesn't mean that medicine is bad. It doesn't mean that you can't take medicine. But, you know, if you got a headache and you prayed to God about it, right, and you declared it in the name of Jesus, and you're still suffering while your faith is growing and you're developing yourself, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am the healed of the Lord, then you can take your medicine and have relief from your symptoms. God's not cruel. Who do you think gave the creative power to doctors to figure out what they figure out? Okay? God is not a child abuser. He loves you. And he doesn't want you to suffer. But you can't go to God begging him to do stuff he's already done when he's put the power in the word in you. Every human being has been created with the God kind of faith in them. And I'm going to give you an analogy for that in a second. It has to be activated. And we'll talk about that. You know, Pastor Ed made a statement one time that I've never forgotten. And he said, words are containers. I'm knocking stuff over. Words are containers of faith. You're speaking words. What's in your containers of faith? Is it faith? Is it empty? Is it negative? What's in your container? Is it a big word? What comes out of your mouth matters. I'll get to that. I'm not going to say that just yet. The measure of God, the measure of faith that God has put on the inside of us comes out in our words. The measure of faith that God has put on the inside of us comes out in our words. That's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I just wanted a visual. I need something visual when I'm talking to you. I gotta have something. I'm either writing or I got a little prop. And I jumped ahead on the scripture. Let's go to Ephesians 4, 29 and 32. And this is where the King James is very descriptive. It says, and I said this earlier, but this is the reference, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I think that's pretty strong. I think it's pretty strong language, personally. Let all evil speaking be put aside from you. Let no corrupt communication out of your mouth, controlling your mouth. You are angry because you got cut off in traffic. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Right? That's what the word says. Common English version says it this way. Stop all your dirty talk. Say the right thing at the right time and help others by what you say. Don't make God's spirit sad. The spirit makes sure that someday you will be free from your sins. Stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or ever be rude. Instead, be kind and merciful and forgive others just as God forgave you because of Christ. Words. One more. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. Are you with me? What you say, how you say it, it all matters. It can change the course of someone else's life. It'll change the course of your life. It could change the course of generations down the line. And I can tell you, you as a believer, you speak stuff and you think, you know, when I was in college, this is the truth. I always said, I'll take as many kids as God will give me. If he gave me 10 kids, I'll take 10 kids. I'm at 9 right now. I've been a father over 9 children. You know, I mean, your words matter. So I wrote, here's the hot take. When you speak according to the word of God, with the faith of God and the will of God, you will see the miraculous appear. Even the world knows the power of words. If you look at any success books in the business world, they talk about having positive affirmations every morning, telling you about how great you are and all these different things, because there's a natural power in words. God made it that way. There are natural laws in the natural word. You are a spiritual being in a natural world. So when you speak, it's supernatural. We're not talking about what the world's doing out there. We're talking about what you, but the world gets it. There are some highly successful worldly people that every morning get up and by the power of their spoken word, change their lives. It wasn't made for them. It was made for us. To carry out the will and work of the Lord God Almighty. And for us to walk as the blessed children that we are. I wrote it again. Loose lips sink ships. I also wrote, words are part of the natural and the supernatural. Loose, careless speech. We already talked about how it can undo your prayer miracles. It can leave you exposed. Your careless speech could leave you exposed. Because that's how much power your word has. It is important that you manage your speech. So if you see your speaking is wrong, the hard question is what's in your heart? I mean, that's a tough question you got to ask yourself. If my speech is wrong, what's going on in my heart? Time for a heart check. Now, we're very familiar with Mark 11, 22 through 26. We hear it a lot from Dad Hagen. But we're going to read it. And I don't know if I put that on, Pastor. Oh, I did. Good. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, so it starts with Jesus saying unto us, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, I say, what things soever ye desire, whatever things you want, when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. There's a whole lot of singing in that. There's a whole lot of speaking, speech, right down to forgiveness. We have been taught clearly that in order to receive Jesus, we must confess the Lord Jesus with our mouths. If we're going to forgive someone, it doesn't work silently. I have to say, I forgive you. It has to be said. In other scriptures, it talks about in order for you to be healed, you must confess your sins one to another. Can you show me anywhere in the scripture where Jesus did silent praying? He spoke. There is a power in your words. And if you're not using your power, it doesn't come by being quiet. And I'm not saying you have to yell. I'm a loud person. I know I'm a loud person. I could do this without the microphone. And people next door could hear me. Okay? But it's not... it's not required that you're loud or booming. It is required that you speak. You want to change things, you need to speak the word. You need to be clear about what God has for you, and you need to speak it out. You need to read your Bible so you can find the rhema word that God has for you and speak it into existence, calling those things that are not as though they were, just like the Father does. That's who we are. I didn't pull up the scripture for the parable of the fig tree, but I told you that Jesus used both destructive and creative power. They're walking by. Jesus sees the fig tree. He's hungry. He wants a fig. Figs aren't in season, and there are no figs on that tree. And Jesus cursed the tree, and they went on their way. They came back by the next day. The disciples looked at it and went, hey, Lord, the tree you cursed is dead. He spoke to it. That's the authority that we have. Amen. He spoke just like that. Now, in another account of Jesus, popular story is Lazarus, right? Met with the family, met with the... My favorite scripture verse, I don't know why. I just think it's kind of... It shows Jesus' compassion, but I also think it's kind of funny. Is, you know, shortest scripture in the Bible is Jesus wept. That's a scripture verse, Jesus wept. Because of his great compassion, but he knew what he was going to do. That's right. But because his great compassion, that's the love of the Father for us, he spent the time with the family knowing that he was going to go. And so he goes to the tomb. He didn't just look at Lazarus and think, come forth. He didn't whisper to him. Jesus said, and he went in command and gave a directive and said, Lazarus, come forth. God's creative power. Those are two simple examples where Jesus showed the power of his words, where what a curse could do, and the power of his words to bring life. That's not nothing. It's a big deal. And so I'm going to wrap this up with my last analogy, and I took this from Pastor Mark Hankins. It's not mine. Didn't think this up, didn't do the research. I got this from Pastor Mark. But it's a great analogy, and it has to do with uranium. So you're familiar with again, both the creative and destructive force that uranium can be. And in a nuclear submarine or a nuclear power plant, it brings great energy. In a nuclear bomb, it can destroy an area for years. Okay? So Pastor Mark shared this out of a book he got. And uranium, in order for it to be useful, it has to be enriched. So they mine uranium. It's a little bit radioactive. It's a little bit harmful, but it's not that big a deal. And it's rare. It's rare. And so when they mine it, in order for it to be productive, it has to be enriched. When uranium is enriched, now it's power. How much power, you might want to know. It's pretty powerful. I'm not sure which account, because he gave two different ones. The power in 1 pound of uranium, which is about the size of a baseball, is 100 million gallons of gasoline. It's the same amount of power. This much uranium, 235, enriched, is the same amount of power as 100 million gallons of gasoline. I like the bigger number, so I'm using it. He gave a smaller number, but I like the bigger number. And so here's an element in the earth, this much of it, that has that much power in it. It powers a nuclear sub. This much uranium can power a nuclear sub for 25 years. Uranium, the size of a baseball. Yep, uranium-235. Once it's been enriched, it is easy to activate uranium-235. It's not just easy, it's virtually instant. It happens in what's called a picosecond. Not pico de gallo, picosecond. Okay? A picosecond happens in 1 millionth of a millionth of a second. It is right now. It's pretty fast. It's fast, a lot faster than you blink your eye. It is fast. It is power on demand, like, and I mean like right now. And a lot of it. A lot of it. So that's my point. Well, the element of uranium is in the earth that God made. Gave man the idea about how to enrich it. But this little bit of element has ridiculous power in the natural. And the Lord God Almighty put it in the earth. So let's talk about faith. If the Lord God Almighty can put this kind of power in the earth for man to discover, how much more power do you think you have as an authority of the believer? So when he says faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, it's a tiny little thing. Yeah, let's go back to uranium for a quick second. If we took shaved a little piece of uranium off, and we had a nuclear reactor that we could power in the car, how much do you think you'd have power on demand for 25 years, and all you'd need is a little spoonful? You think about the size of a car versus the size of a submarine, how much would it take? Just a tiny little bit. And it could power a car for 25 years if it was safe to do it. Right? So back to faith. Faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, the God kind of faith, the same faith that created the earth, the same faith that raised Jesus from the dead, the same faith that you use to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, what can you do with it? It's so much more powerful. We're a little bit impressed about uranium-235. How about being a lot impressed with the power of God? It is so much bigger. And so let me bring it home for you. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you enriched the God kind of faith on the inside of you. And once that faith is enriched, you can activate it in less than a picosecond. And how do you activate it? Believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. It's so much more powerful than his creation on the earth. And if we have our believing right, we have our speaking right, and we're in touch with the Father, then we have all the power that the God kind of faith empowers us to have. Amen. To do God's perfect will in the earth. That's why the word says, greater is he who's on the inside of me. That's not just talk. That's not just talk. Greater is he who's on the inside of me than he is in the world and anything else for that matter. Because my heavenly Father did it all. Amen. And because he's a just God, he put the authority back in you when you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Healed, saved, delivered, renewed, restored. He's a merciful God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. And he sets you all the way up so you can carry it out. And our part is believing and speaking and being in good relationship with the Father. Don't make it so complicated. And be aware of what you're saying. You know, you get up in the morning, you groan as you're rolling out of bed. Or you get up in the morning excited because of the day that the Father has given you and the great and mighty wonders he's going to do. He's going to keep his promises. When you get up tomorrow morning, God Almighty's already keeping his promises to you. Amen. He got mercy for you brand new. His love is everlasting. He has set you up for good. His plans for you are good. Why would you expect anything else? Hallelujah. But you've got to speak like Jesus speaks. Amen. You've got to speak the word of God. You've got to be a speaker of the word. Amen. And when you go to the Father and you're praying, that stuff's got teeth. You'll receive your answers. You'll receive what the Father has for you. You'll receive God's highest and best, which is his perfect will for you. And anything else is a lie from the pit of hell. That's how much God loves you. That's how important our words are to him. Because he knows the power of what's being carried out. You know, Pastor Ed said one time, he talked about how our faith channel is turned way down. It's turned way down because our words are too idle and too careless. That if we had the full creative power that goes along with it and we're operating with it and spoke the same way, that wouldn't be the best. That wouldn't be good at all. But that's what this all means. And I believe in my heart it is our next step of growth, which is taking the self-control that we've been given as believers and controlling the member between our lips. And remember this one critical point. It's not about not saying the wrong thing. It is about speaking the right thing. Amen. It's about speaking forward and aggressively out front according to the word of God. That is the critical part. That is my summary statement. When you catch yourself, nope, that's not like me. That's not who I am. Father, I didn't mean, you know, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my stout words. What I mean is, and then speak the word. It's a discipline. You can learn it. You can retrain your mouth. You have the self-control. God gave you everything you need to do it. And it is critical that we all do it. I think Jerry Savelle wrote a book, What You Say Is What You Get. It's a big deal. I read that book at like 12 or 13. It's a big deal. What you say, I didn't know God that well, but I knew, better not say that. Shouldn't be saying that. You gotta believe it. When your heart is full of faith, you can't help but speak. So if you're not speaking, that's the next step. Come join us on Sunday mornings. Come join us. Faith school's not over yet. Come join us. Get your faith built up. Read the word. Hear yourself read the word. Listen to the word. Build up your most holy faith, and this will be a lot easier. But it's critical. It's critical. I appreciate your kind intention. I hope God blesses you through it, and that I believe it was meant to make a difference in your life. Let's pray.